I'd just like to thank BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. I always talk about therapy with you guys, and therapy has helped me tremendously in my own life. But when you're going through anxiety, it can be very intimidating to go and see somebody face to face. Not to mention the fact that therapy can be quite pricey. So BetterHelp offers a team of online qualified therapists at a much more affordable price than traditional therapy. During the worst of my anxiety, I was actually not going nearly as often as I would have liked to just because I could not afford it. BetterHelp really takes into account your personal experience and what you're going through and what you're looking for. So you actually complete a survey first that helps to personalize your experience and the therapist that they match you up with. If you don't get along with the therapist or it's just not a good match, then it's easy to just switch to another one. If you'd like to get started and you'd like to go and complete the survey, go to betterhelp.com/tamarin and I'll also include the link in the caption for you. BetterHelp offers video, phone, and text chat, and you can decide on whichever one feels most comfortable for you. When you use my link, you will also save 10% on your first month.
Hello, and welcome to our third episode of this month. I'm pretty sure it's our third one, which is like, wow. I'm actually impressed with myself, and just because you guys know, like, if you listen to this regularly, you'll know last year how, or just all the way up until now, how sporadic these episodes have been, where you'll get like one this month and next month maybe nothing, and then the following month too. So here we are, and I am very happy to be here with you guys. I've really been enjoying talking to you and recording more episodes, and I've been creating more blog content for you, and it's just felt really good just putting out as much information as I can. I feel like I just have endless things to share, and I mean, I know, like, I've written blogs for you guys, and obviously I have stuff on my Instagram, and I have my books for you guys too, but I feel like there's just constant information that I still have to share. And sometimes I overwhelm myself because I'm like, I need to tell them this now and I need to get this out now. But I'm trying to not do that. I think we all have a tendency to overwhelm ourselves and we put pressure on ourselves. So I decided to sit down and have a little chat with you tonight. As always, I'm in my spot. And I must just say, I've actually freed up a lot of my time for myself recently, because I've been switching my phone time for reading time and also working on content and things like that and work stuff. So I've actually really been accomplishing a lot more, not just in terms of, oh, I feel so productive, but in terms of self-care stuff, like just doing things that make me happy. I've had more time to focus on that. I think that we spend so much time on screens, wouldn't you agree? And I mean, the amount of times that I've picked up my phone because I just want to quickly check something, or there's a message I want to quickly respond to, and then I pick up my phone, end up doing something completely different, which is usually ending up on TikTok or something and scrolling. And then 20 minutes or 30 minutes have gone by, I put my phone down, and then I'm like, and then I have to pick it back up again, because I'm like, oh wow, like the thing that I actually picked it up for, I didn't even do that, I forgot all about that. And I know you guys can relate to this. So I've actually been trying extremely hard to, like, avoid my phone, like, just put it down. I will go on Instagram and share something with you guys, or TikTok is a hard one for me, because TikTok is one place where I will end up scrolling, because I really like the videos on my feed right now. There's nothing triggering, it's all happy stuff. So as I open there, it's just really easy to scroll. But I'm trying to go on my phone, do what I need to do, because obviously, you know, having the community and it being online, I spend a lot of my time online and I love it. But it's very easy to get distracted by other things. So, if you are someone here who enjoys my book content, like whenever I talk about books, and I try hard not to go off on a ramble, because obviously we're here to talk about anxiety, and we're going to get there in a second. But if you do enjoy my book content. So I feel like I've read more this month than I have for the past few months. But I also feel like I've gotten more things done in terms of, you know, like little goals I've been setting myself. Just one of them being recording more podcast episodes. And so what I wanted to share was I am currently finishing off a book. It's a vampire book, and it's really good. I'm really enjoying it. And then when I start my next book, I'll be going on to, I think, my 7th book for the month, which is so crazy to me. I always set these Goodreads goals. There's a Goodreads reading challenge every year. And I always set it for about like 60 books, I think, and I never make it. I always get to like 47 or 45, something like that. And I see these people reading like 100 books, and I'm like, how do you do it? But if you think about it, it's actually pretty easy to accomplish things that we want to do if we just aren't on our phone so much. Like, I really do think that. So just since I've been switching out my phone stuff for like reading instead, I've been reading so much more, and I've been feeling so much better because reading makes me happy. To be fair, I have read 2 graphic novels, so that's kind of a cheat. Is it though? It's still a book. But I mean, with graphic novels, you can read them in like a day. But anyway, so I guess this is just me trying to encourage you. Like, if there's something that you want to spend more time on or something that you want to focus on more, then consider just taking some time off of your phone, because it's amazing how much time we spend on there. Anyway, this episode is not about phones or how much screen time we rack up each week. I wanted to talk to you about health anxiety again, because if you are part of this community, whether you have been here for ages or whether you are brand new, and in which case, welcome. Like, I always want to welcome anyone who's new here. Then you probably have health anxiety. It doesn't matter if you have GAD, which is generalized anxiety disorder, or whether you have now my brain is just blank. Apparently I can't think of anything. Or whether you have panic disorder or like social anxiety or anything, you probably have, if you have GAD especially and panic disorder, if you just deal with symptoms is what I'm trying to get at here, then you may very well have health anxiety too, because when you deal with symptoms for a specific period of time, it's only natural for your brain to start thinking, like, you know what, this doesn't seem right. And then we start reading into it, and then boom, we have health anxiety. We're just obsessed over our symptoms, over our health. We think that we are sick or dying, you know how it goes. Okay, so I just want to say again here, and like, you guys know that I've said this a few times, but I really just want to say it again, because I feel like when you deal with health anxiety, this is something that you could quite happily have someone say to you multiple times a day, because I know what it feels like when you're struggling and you feel like you're just irritating the person in your life that you keep going to. And if you sense any kind of irritation from them, it makes you feel worse and you feel like you're a burden and you feel guilty for how you're feeling. But then you sit with yourself and you're like, I feel so bad, and I feel like I'm such a frustrating person, and like, I'm frustrating myself because why am I like this? But you also need to acknowledge that you can't help it. Like, you can't just, if only we could just snap our fingers and feel great and not be obsessed anymore. But the fact is, that's where you are right now. And I just want to let you know that where you are right now is okay. And I know that it sucks, and I trust me, I know. Like, when I say I know, I'm not just saying I know based on what people have told me and now I have an idea of how it feels. I know because I'm talking from firsthand experience. I was you. You are who I used to be. I used to obsess so badly over my symptoms that I would make myself feel physically ill, like sick to my stomach. I had constant little adrenaline spikes all day because I would be triggered, or I wouldn't even need to see anything to be triggered. My own thoughts would trigger me all day. where I would try so hard to be running away from how I'm feeling and distracting myself and getting away from the thoughts, but the thoughts were there. Like, I knew that they were there waiting for me. And I would try so, like, I didn't want to ever sit with myself because I was like, if I sit with myself, the thoughts are going to come. And then if a random, really weird, intrusive thought came in, then I would think, oh my God, that's a sign. And I had a lot of death anxiety as well. So with death anxiety is, I would get thoughts like, honestly, what would happen is a random date would pop in my head. Like, just any date. And I'm not even going to try and think of one now and say it, because then you may take that as a sign, and because I know how it goes. So a random date would pop in my head and I would think, oh my God, why did I think of that date? And then I would start to build on that, where I would be like, you know what, I'm worried about the symptom and I think I'm sick. Maybe that will be the day that I am diagnosed or with something really bad. Or maybe that'll be the day that I fall down dead. Like, it's absolutely terrible. And I always say this as well, like, no one can understand what it feels like to live with health anxiety and death anxiety and the intense intrusive thoughts. Like, I would never want to tell anyone that. Imagine going to someone and telling them, someone who doesn't understand anxiety, doesn't have health anxiety, doesn't struggle with death anxiety, doesn't even know what death anxiety is. Imagine telling them, like, oh, this random date popped in my head. Like, they're either going to think that you're very strange, for me, this is even worse. Like, I would rather somebody think that I'm really weird, to be honest with you, rather than them say something like, oh, maybe that's a sign. Like, maybe you should take that as a sign, or maybe you should listen to your gut. Someone actually said to me the other day, they asked me, they're like, you know, I see all these things about how important it is to listen to your gut and trust your gut, but I have this feeling in my gut that something bad is always going to happen, because this is what GAD does, right? This is generalized anxiety disorder. You have this feeling in the pit of your stomach that something bad is coming. It's a sense of impending doom. So your gut is lying to you in this sense, because this is anxiety talking. This is not your true intuition. This is anxiety. So then it becomes very hard, because you're like, people are telling me to trust my gut, but I'm very anxious and I'm feeling like something bad is coming. Does that mean that I should believe it? And the answer is no. I don't even like those posts, honestly, like, trust your gut or whatever. I'm a big believer in, like, trusting how you feel around people, trusting the energy that you feel with people or in situations, or like, maybe a feeling that you have about a job, like, if the job is right for you, things like that. But when you have, like, when these posts come up and it's telling you to always listen to your gut, always trust your gut, those posts or those videos or whatever you're seeing, they don't take anxiety into account, because if they did, they would not be saying that. So I just want to say that if you have that feeling in your gut that I know so many of us do, it's like this really heavy feeling in the pit of your stomach, and it's this feeling that it's this anticipation, that's what it's, this really uneasy sense of anticipation, and it feels so awful that you're just constantly in the state, like, you're preparing for something coming. That is GAD. Like, I just want you to know that this is how I used to feel every single day, and it, like, put my brain on alert constantly. So I was in a constant state of fight or flight, which then caused symptoms, which then caused me to obsess over the symptoms. And it was like an endless cycle, as I'm sure you know if you go through it. So wherever you are right now, let yourself be there. It's okay. You can't help it. You're aware, you want to change, you want to move forward, and that's all that you need right now. I have a big bottle of water with me, and it's just reminding me to remind you to make sure that you're drinking your water. I say this a lot, and there's certain things that I say over and over again, and sometimes I think to myself, like, they're probably so bored of hearing me say it, but there's certain things that we need reminders of constantly, that we need someone to tell us over and over until it just becomes a natural habit for us, and it's not even something that we think about, it's just something that we do. It's not something that we have to remind ourselves to do, it's just something that we do, and if we don't do it, it feels weird. So please make sure that you're drinking enough water. Herbal teas count as well. Soda and sugary drinks do not count, because I actually saw a video on TikTok the other day. This girl said her sister woke up feeling sick or something, and like really she was really really thirsty, so she's gonna make her this, I don't know, there's a name for it, it's like, it's, what is it, it was, she took a big bowl and she put like ice in there and fruits, and it was looking really good, and I was like, okay, this looks good. And then she added like, I don't remember, she added soda I think, and like strawberry milk and like all these super sugary things. And there were some people in the comments that were, they weren't rude, they were just pointing out something, and they were like, all that sugar is actually not going to hydrate her, because sugar actually draws water out of your cells, so it's actually going to contribute to dehydration, it can make you feel worse. And I was like, wow, like, it's, I love when people know these things and then they share it with others in like a kind way. So my point here, because I'm always going off, aren't I, is sugary drinks and things don't count, okay, because the sugar is not going to hydrate you, it's actually going to contribute to dehydration. I think we tend to think of dehydration as like you're out in the desert with no water and like, oh wow, that's really dangerous. But even mild dehydration, like if you're just not drinking enough water, can actually contribute to anxiety type symptoms, like a whole bunch of them. So sometimes we're dealing with symptoms, and obviously it's not always the case, but sometimes we're dealing with symptoms that can be managed through just making small changes to our daily routine. And that to me is what's so crazy. It's like sometimes it's as simple as you're not drinking enough water. And the minute you start drinking more water, boom, you start to feel better. So that's why I'm always trying to give you these reminders, and I'm always trying to share as many things as I can, because if it's not drinking enough water, it could be that you're eating foods with too much sugar, or you're overworking and you're not taking enough breaks. There's so many things that could be contributing. So this is why I'm always trying to remind you. So as I'm drinking my water here and I have my bottle with me, I wanted to remind you to drink some water. In fact, you could make it a habit where every time you sit down to listen to one of my episodes, you have some water or some tea with you and you sip it throughout. I think my episodes are long enough where you'll, if you were even slightly dehydrated, you will be hydrated by the end of it. I feel like I sound congested. I feel like I sound congested so much during winter because it's, the air inside is so dry with the indoor heating. And as I'm saying this to you, I'm reminding myself that I need to set up my humidifier. And then you go outside and the air is so dry and so cold, and so you're never really escaping it. So it actually affects your throat. Like my throat is so dry. It affects my sinuses. I sometimes get nosebleeds. I thought this is actually probably a really good thing to mention. If you have health anxiety and you live somewhere where it's really cold right now and you have the heating on, because the heating alone can cause some symptoms. And then if you have health anxiety, you will fixate on those symptoms. I've always, when the weather is really cold, struggled with like mild nosebleeds because everything dries out, right? And I remember how, I mean, I've had this since I was a teenager, which is like mild, but my nose will like dry out and crack and like bleed a little bit. And I remember being a teenager when I first noticed this, and I was freaking out. Actually, you know what happened? I had a nosebleed. Don't you guys love these episodes, by the way, where I just sit here and ramble on and then figure out what the heck I'm going to talk about as we go? Anyway, I remember being about 18, and I think I had just had like a sinus infection, and it was all gross, and like I had all this like mucus and stuff, and my nose had been bleeding a little bit. But then if you have a nosebleed and then you like kind of like, because you know your ear, nose and throat is all connected, so you can, you know, breathe it right up into your throat, and then you can feel like, oh, you have mucus that you need to spit, and then you spit out blood. That's what happened to me. And I remember going into like complete panic. I was about 18, and I felt what I thought was mucus in my throat, and I like spat it out, and there was blood, and I was like, oh my, like that. My health anxiety started when I was about 17. So when I was 18, I was just like always on alert, always just waiting. If something was weird, I was like, oh my God, this is so terrible. This is awful. This is the worst case. Like that's what my brain would tell me. And I remember spitting up, here I am thinking I'm spitting up blood. Meanwhile, it was coming from my nose. And I was like, oh my God. And I just, you know when you're triggered and it's just like, you're in so much fear in that moment when you like feel a new lymph node or see a story that's just super triggering, or in this case, seeing blood. It's just like you freeze for a second and you just, my whole body went numb and cold, and I could literally feel the fear like through me, and I was like, oh my God. And then I just spiraled from there. And what had happened was, I think that I was, when I was younger, I would go out on the weekends and I would drink, and I would think it was really cool to like have a few cigarettes and stuff. Like I was just experimenting and trying things. And I think I had had a few cigarettes like the weekend before. So my brain was like, it's the cigarettes, something terrible. Like, you know how it goes. Anyway, that was one of my random stories. I want to get back into the symptoms episodes. This episode was actually going to be on shortness of breath, and then I also want to do one on muscle twitching, because I realized that we don't have episodes on those, and I really thought that we had, or that we did. But I'm going to get back into the symptoms episodes from next week, I think, because I want to have like a whole library of episodes with every different symptom for you guys, like really going in depth. Like I think we have dizziness and heart symptoms, head symptoms. What else? Like I feel like there's still so many more that we can do. So I'm going to get back into that. I've had a lot of requests for that. But before, like, I just wanted to do another health anxiety episode based on some comments I've been seeing, messages I've been getting, and one-on-one chats I've been having. I thought that we could do like a little health anxiety slash ramble before we get into those in-depth symptoms episodes again. But I'll probably do these rambles in between anyway. But I wanted to just talk about something. Now, I actually did make a list somewhere of points that I wanted to do in this episode. Number one, not to keep it too long, but also not to keep it too rambly and all over the place and confusing. But you know what? It never works for me. Like with the symptoms episodes, it's easier to have something written down. So I'm just going to sit here and talk and just kind of just see what happens. So I did a health anxiety episode recently on ways to do things differently when you're triggered and when your health anxiety comes up. And I really do recommend listening to that. I recommend listening to all the episodes where you see health anxiety in the title if you struggle, because they all kind of connect together, and I talk about different aspects of health anxiety in each episode. And then if you prefer to read, I do try to turn my episodes into blog posts. I haven't been very good with it because I still have a lot that I can definitely turn into blogs, but I did a health anxiety blog post as well. So in that episode, I was talking to you guys about how to do things differently. Like for example, when you're triggered, how you immediately react from that place of fear and you go Google and or make a doctor's appointment or run off to somebody for reassurance or go to the hospital, whatever the case is. And I kind of spoke you through what you can do when you're triggered, right? Versus what you may have been doing up until now. But something I wanted to talk about here, and I've been putting off this episode for a few days because I'm like, how am I going to talk about it without being all rambly and stuff? Because you know how it goes, but I'm going to do my best. One thing that happens when I talk to people is there is such a sense of frustration and anger with their anxiety, whether it's health anxiety or just your symptoms or just struggling with your anxiety in general. There's this feeling of frustration and anger, and I've been paying close attention to how you guys have been talking about your anxiety, because sometimes I need these reminders. Like, sometimes I'll hear somebody say something and it will kind of trigger a memory for me, and I'll be like, oh my god, I used to say that exact same thing and I actually forgot all about it, because it's been about 10 years now that I haven't been stuck in that rut that I was in, right? So sometimes I need these reminders from you guys. And then when I hear you guys like speaking about anxiety in certain terms, and then it brings back memories for me of how I used to speak about it like that too, it inspires me to then come and have a conversation about it. So everybody that I talk to is, like I said, there's a sense of frustration, of anger, of impatience. That's another one. And the way that, I'm going to say the way that we talk about anxiety, because this is what I used to do too, so I'm going to lump myself in here as well. The way that we talk about anxiety is that we look at it as this really, and I said this to somebody, we look at it as this big, hairy, terrifying monster, right? It's this terrifying thing that's out to get us, that's out to hurt us, that's tormenting us, torturing us. I'm just trying to think of like all the words that I've seen, and it just wants to make our life miserable. Like, we hate anxiety. We hate it. It's just ruining our life, and it's ruining, it's just ruining our days, and it's taking away from what we feel like we could be doing to actually be enjoying our life. So anxiety becomes this awful thing, this like shadow over our life that we just constantly trying to escape from. We're trying to get out of the shadow and into the sun, but it seems like we just never get there, because we always like, please leave, like, you're just, bear with me here, I'm not gonna re-record these bits, I'm just speaking right now, but you know what I mean, like, it's like the shadow. And we're always trying to get out from the shadow. And sometimes we're able to, and we're able to step into the sun for a little while. And we're like, oh, I can take a breath and I feel good. But then the shadow isn't gone. It's still there. The cloud is still there. And we know that it's going to come back at some point. And it's just so frustrating, because we get out of it and we feel better. And then the cloud comes again. And we're just angry. Like, why are you there? We don't want you there. Please leave. Sometimes we don't even feel fear, we're more angry, and other times we're more fearful than angry. It just depends on the day, or it depends on the symptom, or it depends on the trigger. So sometimes something will trigger us and we're like, oh, for F's sakes, not again, I'm so sick of this. And you just respond in anger, and you're just talking to yourself, but not realizing that you're effectively talking to your anxiety. And you're like, why are you doing this to me? I just want to be normal. I just want to live a normal life. Like that person that I see over there who seems to be enjoying their life. Or on the other hand, we're responding from a place of fear, which is the more common one, depending, right? So it often alternates, like we're fearful and angry, sometimes both at the same time. Or we're fearful and we're like, oh my God. And then we respond from that place of fear, which is what I spoke about in that episode, where we immediately Google, or you know, whatever our coping methods are in the moment. So I described it like this the other day, and this may be a really bad way of describing it, but I just, for me, it's easier to just say things as they come to me versus overthinking it. But I described it, I had a one-on-one chat with someone the other day, and they were saying that they, you know, respond from a place of fear, they get really angry and they just want to be normal. I hear that so often, I just want to be normal. And I always say, like, what is normal anyway? Normal is so freaking overrated. It's boring. Like, let's be weird, okay? But I understand what you mean. You want to be able to do things like how you see other people do things and not feel like your anxiety is holding you back. So I do understand that. But this is how I described it. Like, say you're out somewhere and a little kid comes up to you, and this kid is in an absolute state. Like, let's say the child is about 5 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, and they are crying and just an absolute wreck. They're incoherent. You don't even understand what they're saying. And they come and they kind of like tugging on your arm, and you're like, okay, like, what's happening? What's wrong? And they tell you, like, maybe they can't find their mom and they've lost their mom, and can you help them find their mom? Now, I want you to really think about the situation, if this actually happened, or maybe it has happened. And I want you to think how you responded or how you would respond in a situation like this. You're confronted with complete fear and confusion, and this child is just having a complete meltdown. Very similar, and you're going to understand where I'm going with this, but very similar to the way that you may feel or even act, but the way that you probably feel inside when you're triggered, right? That immense fear. Oh my God, what's happening? Now let's go back to this situation. So this child is in this fear-based state, and they're relying on you. They've come to you, and they're relying on you to help them out of this problem that they find themselves in, which is they're lost and they can't find their mom. Now, can you imagine if you responded to this child with the same level of fear that they're putting off, and you said, oh my God, what? You can't find your, oh, this is terrible. I don't think we're going to find your mom. Like, this is really bad. You're lost? Oh, that's terrible. Like, imagine you responded like that. Do you think that the child is going to calm down, or do you think that the meltdown is going to escalate? I mean, it's obvious, right? They are going to have, it's going to just get a million times worse. On the other hand as well, imagine you respond with anger. I mean, this, just saying this feels terrible. Like, who's going to respond to a little child with anger? Like, oh, you're irritating me. Go look for your mom on her own. Like, I don't want to deal with this. And just like that resistance that we put up when we're triggered, right? And or when we're dealing with symptoms and we just like, oh, I don't want to deal with this. Like, leave me alone. The child, do you really think the child's going to be like, okay, well, I guess I'll go look for my mom on my own then? No, they're going to be, you're going to have made them feel a million times worse. Their fear is going to have escalated now to a level where they are just, they're not even going to know what to do because they are a child. They're coming to you, who they see as an adult, and hoping that you can help them, and you have met their fear with fear or anger. So obviously the situation is going to get a lot worse. Now, you obviously know where I'm going with this at this point, but I want you to really think about it, because it's one thing to be like, oh yeah, I understand what you're saying. Okay, yeah, I get it. And it's one thing for me to just say it, but I want you to actually think about it, okay? Your anxiety is not trying to hurt you. Our anxiety is there to protect us. It's a little confused right now. It's that little child who's confused and is asking you for guidance, but you're responding with fear or you're responding with anger. So does it not make sense that you're going to feel so much worse, that you're going to feel so much like more terrified, or you're not going to know what to do with yourself? The logic flies out the window when fear takes over, and then, as you can see, the whole cycle begins. Now, this is important. I'm not asking you to not feel scared, because that's impossible. Like, if you're dealing with a really intense symptom, like crazy chest pain, your chest is tight, it actually feels like, oh my God, you could be having a heart attack. Because this is what people say to me. They say, okay, but how do I not feel scared though? Like, I don't know how to not feel scared. I'm not asking you to change how you feel. I'm asking you to change how you respond. You can't help how you feel. You can't help it if you feel angry. You can't help it if you feel scared. And let me just say here as well that sometimes this took me an extremely long time to grasp fully. And if someone had just come to me out of nowhere saying this stuff to me during my worst time, I may have been frustrated. So if you are feeling frustration, or it's not resonating with you, or it's not really sinking in yet, this may be something that you really have to sit with and listen to a few times and really think about it. Because this took me a very long time to fully understand. But once I actually grasped this and understood it, things really did change for me. So you know what? This is what I want you to do. I'm not going to try to go into a whole complicated, like, 20-step thing, like, do this and then do this and then do that. Simple. Let's keep it simple, because you're already feeling overwhelmed. You're mentally, emotionally, physically drained, and it's really difficult when someone is throwing loads of information at you. So I really do try in my episodes to just break it all the way down and make it as simple as possible. So this is just what I want you to do, okay? Next time you're experiencing a symptom, or you feel triggered and you feel that immense fear come up, you can't help that fear. It's going to be there. Let it be there. And if you want to know how to respond differently, listen to that other episode. I think it's episode 34. I think so. But I want you to, and in there I do talk about sitting with it. But what I want you to do is, and I don't care how silly this sounds, like, I don't, it's fine, because I've gone through such severe anxiety that I was willing to try everything and anything, and there's certain things that have helped me, and this helps me. I want you to put your hand, like, just on your heart, and I want you to say, it's okay, we are safe. Now, if people think when I say this that I'm expecting you to do this and immediately feel safe and like everything fades away, that's not what I'm expecting at all. This is something that you may have to do a million times before you do it that one time and it actually clicks and your brain actually goes, oh wow, and you actually have that feeling through your body like, okay, I actually do feel safe. But with anything, it's consistency. You have to do things over and over and over again. There's not going to be one thing that you do or something that you do one time and it's just going to be a magic cure. You want long-term relief, right? And the things that I share with you are going to help you with long-term relief. I'm not going to share little gimmicks for like, oh, this is going to cure your anxiety overnight. I want you to experience long-term relief, and I want to give you the tools that's going to help you in the future when anxiety comes up again, because it will. This is not me being negative. Anxiety is a natural emotion. We're not trying to cure or rid ourselves of it. It is there to protect us when it makes sense, okay? If we are in danger, we need to experience those feelings of anxiety and all the symptoms that come with fight or flight to help us out of a potentially life-threatening situation. So it's not something that we want to rid ourselves of. But if you're dealing with anxiety on a daily basis, then your brain is just a little bit confused and it doesn't understand that you're safe. And it's up to you. It's asking you. It's that little child that's confused and it's asking you to reassure it. So if you feel this fear sometimes it helps to actually just look at your anxiety as a physical thing. Like, look at it. Make up some character for your anxiety in your mind. It can be a cute little, like a little Pokemon type thing. I mean, sounds so silly, but we do what we have to do. Just imagine it as this little fluffy ball of something, I don't know, with eyes. And imagine that's your anxiety. And it is so scared right now. And because it's inside of you, whatever it feels, you feel, okay? But you are not your anxiety. It is this thing inside of you that is separate from you, okay? But it loves you and it cares for you and it wants to protect you. And it's going to always be there to protect you. So the minute you're like, F you, anxiety, I hate you, imagine you're talking to this little fluffy, adorable thing and now it is just absolutely devastated and you are going to feel so much worse because whatever this thing feels, you feel. Does that make sense? If a child is having a complete meltdown, do you think that you gently saying you are safe is going to immediately calm the child down? No. It may take an hour before the child feels even slightly calm. It may take hours depending on what's going on, right? So how can you expect to tell yourself, we are safe, because look at your anxiety is there with you, right? How can you expect to just say that and feel better? You have to be gentle with yourself. You have to keep doing it over and over again. I'm not saying you're going to do this and, oh wow, my fear is gone. You're going to do this and you may feel exactly the same, but guess what? You've done something differently. You haven't responded with anger or more fear. Even if you're feeling the fear, note the difference between feeling and responding, okay? You still feel the fear, maybe you still feel angry, but you're not responding with fear or anger, okay? Oh, but I'm still scared, like I'm still angry. Okay, but that's okay. You didn't respond with fear or anger. Does this make sense? Because this makes a lot of sense to me, and maybe it just does because it's taken me such a long time to get here, but I hope that it makes sense for you. So I think we're about like 40 minutes in, and I think that I'm going to leave it there. I always get requests for very long episodes, and I actually may do some really super long episodes, like 2-3 hours this year, but I actually think that I'm going to just leave this there because I had this plan to talk about this with you, and then I was going to go into some of the biggest health anxiety obsessions and fears and symptoms, but I'm going to do that in a separate episode, and I'm also going to be doing a blog post on that. I really wanted this episode to be one where if you just hate your anxiety, this can help you to kind of think of it differently. To not think of it as this absolute terrible monster that is out to get you, but rather a frightened child that's just trying to get your attention and is asking for reassurance. I look at anxiety as it's like an alarm letting us know that there are things that we need to be doing differently in our lives, because depending on what's triggering your anxiety, whether you're overworking, whether it's past stress that's finally caught up with you, right? Whether it's a traumatic event that you went through, or whether it's you've just been watching too many videos about people dying from certain symptoms and now it's just lodged in your brain. There's so many things, food sensitivities, like I could go on, and I probably should do an episode on triggers. I don't know if we have one. You guys always let me know what we have because I forget. I usually come in here and ramble and then I'm on to the next ramble, but I will do an episode on that. If you go on any of my posts on Instagram and just type the word triggers or DM me the word triggers, you'll automatically be sent a link to a PDF that I made sharing some possible triggers, some of the top ones, some obvious ones versus ones that may be harder to identify unless you dig deeper. And then of course in my A to Z I go into all of the possible triggers that could be contributing to how bad you may be feeling. So I'm going to end this here because I don't want to overwhelm you with information. I know you're already overwhelmed dealing with all the symptoms and everything that you're dealing with on a daily basis. So listen to this episode again if you need to, but I want you to really sit with it so that it can kind of sink in and hopefully make sense. To not hate on our anxiety, but to show it love and compassion and show it like, you know what, I know that you're not trying to hurt me. I don't feel good right now. I don't like it. But I know you're not trying to hurt me, and I know that you're relying on me to kind of reassure you, and that's what I'm going to do. And then this is when you're putting the work in, right? When you're doing those things that help you to manage your anxiety, that's you showing your anxiety that you care and that you want to move forward. So do that activity if you want, where you literally envision your, if you're an artist, like draw something. I mean, even if you're not, but I mean, like if I try to draw this, it will be embarrassing. When I tell you that I cannot draw, like, I mean, there's some people that will say, oh, I can't draw. And then they, you know, draw something and it's like, oh, that's actually pretty good. And they're like, oh, no, it's not. And, but when I say that I cannot draw, like, I literally mean that stick figures look bad. Like, I have no talent when it comes to drawing. So for me, it's better to visualize. But if you can draw, by all means, go ahead and share it with me if you do, because I would seriously love to see what you come up with. But maybe we need to picture our anxiety or draw it as a specific cute little thing. And every time we want to respond from that place of anger or fear, just think that we are talking directly to this cute little thing that is our anxiety. Okay, and then one more thing before I love and leave you, I'm going to actually get on my yoga mat. I've been trying to do like little bursts of yoga, like 15 minutes, 20 minutes versus forcing myself to get on and doing like 45 minutes or an hour. Like that's been better for me this week. And that's another thing. Like I always tell people, movement is so important to release stagnant energy out of your body and to lower cortisol, which is stress hormone levels, and to physically release adrenaline. But whenever I say that, I'm always met with, no, my heart rate is too high, I definitely can't exercise, or I used to be really active, but I can't be active anymore. When I say movement, trust me, I'm not talking about high intensity cardio workouts, because I could barely take a few steps during my worst days. So I'm definitely not expecting you to be running on the treadmill or like doing 100 squats or whatever it is. What I mean when I say movement is any kind of movement. Deep breathing is literally getting your blood flowing and moving your lymph, and that is considered movement. You moving things around in your body and it's going to help you. Or gentle stretching or gentle yoga. So really, really try to get some movement in every day. It can be the most gentle movement, but any kind of movement is better than staying stagnant. And back to the thing that I was talking about before I went off on that ramble is, okay, so I have this book here. Her name is Pema. I was just looking up her, some ASMR for you. She's an American Buddhist nun, and she has books where she shares her stuff, which is really amazing, her wisdom. And so her name is Pema Chodron. Oh gosh, I just, please, if you know how to say that, I'm sorry, I forget. But I do know her name is Pema. And I have a book by her called, I have my mic on it right now. it's called When Things Fall Apart. And I've just started it. I've been trying to read nonfiction books in between my fiction novels. And I must say that it's giving me an instant feeling of comfort, very much like Eckhart Tolle's books do. And then I have this other book of hers that's called The Pocket, which is just like all little bits of her. Here it says right in the beginning. It says, this collection brings together some of the most memorable and potent teachings of Pema Chodron, the beloved American Buddhist nun and best-selling author. And I promise you, like, I absolutely love the stuff that I've been reading in here. So I'm going to open to a random page, and I wonder if the sound is annoying or if it's like gentle ASMR. I wonder if I should do an ASMR episode. That would be kind of fun. Anyway, but I'll have to whisper for the whole episode like this. I don't think I'll be able to. Okay, so I actually just opened a page that would that seemed like it would make so much sense. Here it is. No, that's not it. That one is okay. I'm just gonna open to a random page and see what we get. Gosh, I'm all over the place, aren't I? Okay, here. It's called When You Open Up to Life as It Is. When you open yourself to the continually changing, impermanent, dynamic nature of your own being and of reality, you increase your capacity to love and care about other people and your capacity to not be afraid. You're able to keep your eyes open, your heart open, and your mind open, and you notice when you get caught up in prejudice, bias, and aggression. You develop an enthusiasm for no longer watering those negative seeds from now until the day you die, and you begin to think of your life as offering endless opportunities to start to do things differently. So I will end it there. There was a specific one that I wanted to read, but I can't find it now. Anyway, I'm not going to get off on a whole ramble, but I wanted to just leave you with some words from that book. And I really do hope that this episode has helped you to at least think differently of your anxiety. Like, I want to repair the relationship between you guys, because right now it's not good, right? Like, you guys are just arguing all the time and you're not getting anywhere. You have to make friends with it. And I know it's so easy to say that, but this coming from somebody who hated her anxiety for a ridiculous amount of time, and I just stayed stuck until I realized that I have to respond differently. Okay? Something to think about. But I will definitely be talking to you soon. This is our third episode. Will we bring out a fourth episode before the next month, so that we have four in January? I will definitely try my very best. But I will talk to you soon. Please be gentle with yourself. Please drink your water. Please take your magnesium. Please consider an adaptogen. And please don't forget to breathe. Okay? I'll talk to you later.